We're going to continue our study today in the book of Ephesians. Last time we were looking at Ephesians chapter 4, and we were going through verses 21 to 32, and we entitled the passage, Putting on the New Man. We're going to continue in just a moment and pick up where we left off. But before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up and study thy very words. We pray that you'd bless our time together in your words, in the study of your word. And Father, we pray you'd bless the listener and help them to grow through these studies and the knowledge, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we commit this time into thy hand. We ask you to have your will and your way in our study today. And it's in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, we started to look at, you know you're beginning to grow up into the new man in the Lord when you see the following changes in your life. And we started to look at some of them. And where we left off is one of the things you're going to see that's going to change in your life as you grow up in the new man in the Lord is you'll be careful to say things that edify the saints. You'll be careful to say things that edify the saints. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 29. The words of God say this, Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Also, a cross-reference would be, let's turn to 2 Corinthians for a moment, in chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians 12, and we want to look at verses 19 and 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And the words of Almighty God say this, Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things daily, beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbiting, whisperings, swellings, tumults. So, what we see here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, and what we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19 and 20, we should edify one another, see, rather than strive and debate and backbite. And as you grow in the things of the Lord, as you grow up, amen, in the new man in the Lord, you'll see this change. You'll be careful to say things that edify the saints. Another change you'll see is you'll not grieve the Spirit of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, the words of God say this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So you'll not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Rather, you'll be filled with Him. You see, failure to put off the old man and to put on the new man causes you to grieve the Spirit of God. See? The Spirit of God wants us to walk in newness of life in the new man that we have received the moment, the instant we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, a lot of times, as Christians, we don't do that. Although the words of God tell us that the old man is dead, the flesh is dead, some of us continue to resurrect that old man and allow him to rule our lives instead of putting on the new man. Amen? Another change you'll see as you grow up in the new man in the Lord is you'll get rid of bitterness and wrath and evil speaking and the like. In verse 31 of Ephesians chapter 4, read with me what the words of God say. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You see, people come naturally equipped with a hellish tongue. Notice what in the book of James, chapter 3, that whole chapter has talks about the tongue. But I want us to look in James chapter 3 in particular, verses 5 through 8. We read this, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. In the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defile not the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So we see that we naturally, the old man, we are naturally equipped with a hellish tongue. But when your heart is changed by the Lord, things in your heart change. And as a result, so do the things that come out of your mouth. In the Gospel of Matthew, if you'll turn there with me, please. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. We read this, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, the words of God say this, O generations of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, when he came the first time, is addressing the religious crowd. And when he addressed the religious crowd, we notice the strong speech that he used. He called them a generation of vipers. He called them a bunch of snakes. And he says to them, how can you be evil, speak good things? Because they were evil in their hearts, they couldn't speak good things. And he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So they couldn't speak good things because their hearts were evil. So when your heart is changed by the Lord Jesus Christ, when you get saved, things in your heart change. Because as a result, what comes out of your mouth will change as well. Because that's where it originates. The things that come out of your mouth originate in the heart. Now, also, we want to see the last thing as we discuss the changes that take place when someone grows in the new man in the Lord. You'll be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Look at verse 32 of Ephesians chapter 4. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See? We're going to be, as the Lord changes us, as we are conformed more and more to the image of God's dear Son, and we become more and more like Him, we'll become kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. These are spiritual qualities that develop when you realize how kind and forgiving the Lord has been towards you. I want us to turn to Luke chapter 6. The Gospel of Luke chapter 6. And I would like us together to read verses 35 and 36 of Luke 6. And we read this. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. See? Become more like Christ. We become merciful. Merciful as the Lord has been merciful to us and forgiving to us. Amen. And now we want to continue our study in the book of Ephesians. And we want to begin in chapter 5. And we'll be looking and reading together verses 1 through 17. And I entitle this passage, A Godly Walk. A Godly Walk. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, the words of God have this to say. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, in all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But of all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In this passage, the Apostle Paul gives instructions on three ways that we should walk. We should walk in love, in verse 2. He says, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us. We should walk as children of light. Number two, look at verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you children, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And number three, we should walk circumspectly. Verse 15, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We're going to examine each of these in the context in which he mentions them to see how we as children of God can be better followers of God. So first of all, we have to walk in love. This is how we should walk. Walk in love. Amen. See? And we see this described in verses 2 through 7. And this, my friend, is a walk of separation. Separation to God and away from the world. When you find your wife, you love her like no other woman on this earth. You separate yourself to her and from all the other women in the world. You see, Jesus separated himself unto God, and when it came time, he offered himself out of love as a sacrifice to the Father. At the same time, he separated himself from every sin in the earth because he loved his Father and wanted to please him. You see, my dear friend, when you love the Lord and the people to whom you minister, you will separate yourself from sin so that you can be more pleasing to God and be a better minister. You will separate yourself from all filthy communication in subsequent action. See? And then Paul said, don't even let these things be named among you. Fornication. One of the common cuss words is a word that begins with F. That is a slang for fornication. Obviously, you're not to fornicate, but you're not even supposed to say it or talk about it. Uncleanness. When we talk about it, we call them dirty jokes. Covetousness is primarily a lack of contentment and is the same thing as idolatry, because you begin to worship the object of your affection rather than God. You are not happy with what you have, so you have an inordinate affection towards something someone else has. No love in any of these, you see. They're all selfish. Paul said that the Christian who walks in love will give thanks rather than to get off into any of these things. See, in verse 20, he says in Ephesians chapter 5, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, who pursued these things, who pursue all these things, lose all of their inheritance in the kingdom of God. God's wrath is on the children of disobedience when they do these things, so don't think that he is suddenly permissive in these things now that you are his child. You see, there are severe consequences. And you are not to let any man deceive you otherwise. So we see, first of all, we are to walk in love. Second, we are to walk as children of light. And that walk is described in verses 8 through 14. And this is a walk of reproof. You are going to shine so bright that everyone is going to see your Father in you, and the Spirit in you, and they're going to see the wickedness of their own sin. See, verse 9 says in Ephesians 5, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." You see, bright light is what a doctor or dentist uses to see infirmity in your flesh or mouth. Amen. Bright light is what the doctor uses, a laser, to cut the problem out of your flesh and to fix the problem. When Christ saved you, He brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice with me what the words of God say in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 9. The words of God say, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." That's what we are. That's what we are to become. He's called us out from darkness into His marvelous light. He's chosen a generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Amen. And the purpose for that is that ye should show forth the praises of Him. And why should we praise Him? Because He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. So, when Christ saved you, He brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now He wants you to walk in that light so that others can see that they are walking in darkness, and so that they can see how to get into the light. When Jesus was here, He was the light of the world, and now we are to be the light of the world. You see, you have to separate yourself from darkness. Amen. As we're instructed in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." So, you have to separate yourselves from the darkness in order to reprove the things that are not pleasing to God. And the third way we are to walk is to walk circumspectly. And we see this described in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. And this is a walk of wisdom. You see, you check everything out from every angle to be sure that what you are about to do is the most beneficial use of your time for the Lord, so you don't end up in foolish things, and therefore you will do the will of the Lord. This wisdom comes from prayer, Bible reading, sacrifice, and good counsel. We see in, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And notice what it says in Romans 12. You know, a lot of Christians will say, "Well, how can I know the will of God for my life?" Well, In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, notice what the words of God say. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is your reasonable service. Amen. In other words, not anything above and beyond the call of duty. As Christians, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And we can do this by God's mercies. See? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. God's mercy enables us to do this, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. You see, the sacrifices that they offered in the Old Testament, they put to death. The animal was put to death. Amen. They had to be tied to the altar. But we are to come willingly. Christ, the Lord doesn't want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. Amen. He wants you alive, living for Him. Living a life of sacrifice. Not giving in to the wicked flesh. And that word holy means separated. Not saying about going and living in some commune and being away from everybody and everything, no. But separated. Be in this world, but not of this world, amen. And the result of that, if you'll do that, if you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, amen. As one preacher once said, the Lord will not use a dirty vessel. But we have to live, come to God, a living sacrifice, present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Again, which is your reasonable service? This is what you're supposed to do as a Christian. And this is the fruit, if you'll do that. This is what will come about. Oh, one more thing. And be not conformed to this world. See? If you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, there's no way that you can be conformed to this world. And as a result of doing that, it says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See? So if you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, you can't be conformed to this world at the same time. And what's going to happen is you're going to be transformed. Your mind's going to be renewed. Why? Because you'll be in the things of the Lord. You'll be in prayer and Bible reading. In living for the Lord. In sitting under good preaching and teaching. Amen. And if you do that, it says, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if you do those things, then you'll know what the will of God is for your life. Amen. So we see then, in our passage today, Paul instructs us that we're to walk in love. This is a walk of separation. We are to walk as children of light. This is a walk of reproof. And then finally, we are to walk circumspectly. This is a walk of wisdom. That's all the time we have today. Hope you'll join me next time as we continue our study in the book of Ephesians.